This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Today, we're going to get an update on the work of Glide Revitalization, and their spokesperson, Jenna Beam, is in. Our first time to have her in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, I guess for first, let's back up a couple of steps and talk about just overall, give some people an idea, kind of a sense of what Glide Revitalization is all about.
Yeah, so it started out as a small nonprofit that was pretty much focused on how to get a park and stuff into Glide, as well as helping the community grow and businesses come out to Glide. When the fires happened, they shifted focus, and they started really becoming active and involved in the disaster response side of it as far as helping people get back on their feet after the fire. So we do a lot of work with survivors as well as some preparedness stuff and are branching out into other areas now.
Now, how long has the organization been around?
I believe, and don't quote me 100% on this, that in 2007 is when it started as a concept and a group of people got together locally in Glide to start forming it. In 2014 was when they officially got their 501c.
And how long have you been involved?
About 2 years.
What led you to get involved?
A favor for a friend. I got asked to help out on a board position. They were looking for people and had been actively recruiting, and so that's how I got involved. And I had volunteered a little bit previous to that.
So what's your role right now? What kinds of things are you doing with the organization?
Well, I am officially the CFO, but I am also handling our capital campaign, reforestation. Pretty much anything that doesn't fall under somebody else's role gets handed to me.
So a lot going on, and this is something you're doing in addition to your day job.
Yeah, so I have a couple jobs. I'm also a paramedic that a part-time at a department, and then I have my own business that I do on the side.
So things obviously shifted after the Archie Creek fire, and I think we could all remember that day pretty clearly. Certainly the people that lived up in that area more than the rest of us. But even, I mean, it's one of those few moments in doing this type of job where I can basically remember a whole lot of things about the entire day, whereas a lot of other days just kind of blend together. And while it had been forecast that there was this potential for fire, you know, that always means that it's a chance that it's not going to happen. And we had gotten through Labor Day okay, and things, I thought, okay, well, we're fine. I thought that until I walked in the building at 3 a.m. and was listening to the police scanner, and then got an email from the superintendent at the Glide School District at the time. And I realized that it was going to be a day unlike any other, and certainly for the organization, that was where things really shifted into high gear in a hurry.
It was. The initial response, especially, so when you look back at everything that happened that day, the initial boots on the ground and everything that happened before Glide Revitalization got really, really involved, and that was by community members. There was a huge group of community response that had nothing to do with any organization or any real structure. They just saw a need and showed up. After that, Glide Rev came in and stood up the donation center down at the old middle school, started trying to reconnect people to getting essential documents like driver's license, social security cards, and from there, the state asked us to take over the casework.
And there's a lot of complex paperwork that goes with a situation like this. And while in a normal news cycle, you hear about a disaster and then it eventually fades, for the people impacted directly by it, this thing is anywhere near close to being over. Yet here we are, you know, 2.5 years down the road.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. I've said multiple times it takes 8 hours of paperwork to get an hour's worth of funding out the door. And unfortunately, that's kind of the nature of the beast, but we still get funding out the door. The other part of this is, I don't know if you've ever gone up to where these home sites were or places that are still destroyed, but there's something incredibly humbling to go stand on a piece of property with a survivor and to see that while it may have been 2 years ago for us, they're still in shock. They're still looking at the ruins of their entire life. Some of these homes were built by people with their own two hands, and they spent 25 years building them to have it disappear in a day. they still haven't recovered from that. And I don't know that some of them ever will.
Yeah, I think one of the most sobering drives of my life was the just a few days after the fire, before it was actually open to the public. And I went up with one of the sheriff's office officials, went up Rock Creek and went clear up up in the area of Frank Moore's property and all of that along the highway. And though I've lived here for over 30 years and, you know, I'd seen pictures already. You're not prepared for it. And that's just as somebody who lives here in town, not somebody that lives there. So there's a lot of needs going on. What kind of focus do you guys have right now on helping people?
We're still trying to get people back in houses. We're actually working on a new program through the state called HARP that we're hoping to find out soon whether or not we get additional funding through that to keep getting people's homes rebuilt. The main need right now is that kind of stuff. We've passed the point where people are needing clothing and furniture and all of that. We're to the point where people need driveways. They need outbuildings. They need actual homes back.
Well, and the infrastructure process, you know, just think about it. You can't just necessarily build a house until you've got the water line back, until, you know, if there's a sewer line or electricity, gas, whatever. I mean, there's all of that layers which involve different levels of government, different companies, different providers. There's a lot to unsort there.
There is. And one of the things we've run into a lot of times is, you know, somebody's well that was fine 20 years ago, not only was it destroyed during the fire, every part of it, but now it might not be a viable option anymore, and the restrictions have changed. Your licensing, everything that's required now is a lot more than it was when most of these homes were built.
So a lot of help is still needed. What are some of the things you're working on in particular this year with helping people?
We partnered with UCAN through a state program. We've been getting a ton of funding out the door to actually get the rebuilds finished so people are considered closed and moved on to that. That's pretty much our focus right now, is continuing to do that. We're also transitioning to focusing on preparing people for another disaster. Glide historically floods. We have now the potential for a lot of big landslides. We have potential for fire still. And what can we do to help make the community and the individuals stronger so that the next disaster we're able to recover quicker?
Now, I'm guessing, I don't know, that you probably either live in that area or have got a pretty big background out there.
I do. I actually grew up there. I grew up ranching in the area, bounced around kind of Douglas County a little bit, graduated from Glide High School, and live out off of North Bank now.
And so it's one of those things that you see this, you know, you're seeing this on a daily basis and the impact for people. What about the mental health aspect? Has there been help available for people that just need someone to kind of unpack this with?
There is. One of the things that we've found with us having, you know, a storefront per se, is that survivors come in just to talk to us. They'll send us photos. They will come in and tell us about their struggles. They'll show us pictures of what it used to look like, the progress they've made now. We also worked in conjunction with local churches and counseling groups to make sure that we had referral processes in place to get people counseling that wanted it.
So a lot going on, and we're going to take a break and come back and talk more about what's happening, also about opportunities possibly for people to get involved in a lot of different ways. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1 this afternoon. Peter Greenberg will have Eye on Travel at 4. Tomorrow we'll talk about CASA of Douglas County. Today we're focused on Glide Revitalization. Jenna Beam in here today with the organization. You've got all the folks that are involved, and obviously it's got to be hard to do this work sometime and not feel like, you know, this is going to be years up the road before this is really a closed book at all.
It is. We tend to look at it as a marathon at this point. We were hopeful that at this stage we'd have more completed than we have, but unfortunately, everything from the economy to weather to just not even being able to connect people to contractors has been barriers.
Yeah, and it's, you know, in other situations, I've talked to folks from FEMA in past years about other disaster situations, and folks from the Red Cross, and they talk about the long-term aspect of this. And for so many people, there have been a lot of challenges. I understand that a lot of folks up there were either underinsured or not insured, and so that things like that has added another wrinkle into to what you're able to do. Now, do we have people that still haven't found any kind of sort of midterm, short-term housing?
As far as I know, our last person that was what we would have considered, you know, kind of housing insecure and didn't have a interim plan was secured housing in the last month.
Wow. So that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I know that at some point last year, I talked to someone who was still at the Holiday Inn and had been there, you know, since for a very long time. And that was just sort of an accidental conversation at a coffee stand. You know, kind of heartbreaking to think about for a lot of people. So what are the future plans? What kinds of things are you guys working on looking forward for this and other aspects of what you're doing? You mentioned the storefront location. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we were able to obtain a building, and our plan is to renovate that. So right now, when I talked about the capital campaign earlier, we're working with a company called Westby Associates that's helping us run this capital campaign in order to be able to renovate that building and turning it into a resource hub. What that means is we'll have childcare. We're hoping to still partner with UCAN for them to supply the preschool promise program that we're partnered with them now. Then we'll have a conference room. We'll be able to support some youth programs. We'll have a public fax machine. We have a notary on staff. We'll also have additional rooms that'll be available to do like continuing education classes. We'll have room for places like WIC or UCC or these other organizations can come out and do business there 1 or 2 days a month and provide people access to the resources locally.
Do you find that there are a percentage of people, at least up in that area, that either don't have transportation or have trouble in that area? I mean, we think about just hopping in the car and going to town, but for some people, that's not always that easy.
Right, and yeah, we do have that. In fact, the community center in Glide that does the senior meals has had problems at times even getting people down there because they don't have transportation.
Wow, and of course, if you are, depending on where you are, not only are you, you know, 15 miles from Roseburg or whatever, but you may be 5 miles up a road. I mean, there's a lot of areas that I've never even explored up there yet. So there's a lot of challenges. I know that in the past year, you guys have been able to really help. I remember a week or two ago, the county press release, when you did a presentation there, talked about pretty significant amounts of money that have been coming through and going out to help people.
Yeah, so the numbers I gave then, in 2022, we had $648,000 and some change out the door. In 23, when I talked to them, and those numbers have already changed, it was $206,000 that we've put out this year, as well as $170,000 almost in reforestation. So we're continuing to put a very large amount of money out the door to help people get reestablished.
And talk about the reforestation work. Is that just, is that in areas that were forests for, you know, a tree production, or is this just getting more trees back on the blank landscape?
So this is for private landowners who had trees on their property prior to the fire, lost them. We're trying to get trees back there for many reasons, one of them being erosion control. You know as well as I do that when something gets nuked like Archie Creek fire area did, you lose all that soil stability. It affects our rivers, it affects our creeks, and as well as landslides. And so this is a twofold project. One, to get trees back on people's property that had them there before, and two, to help try to stabilize some of this area that we're worried about with slides and stuff.
Well, and yeah, that's a big issue, especially when we get at points like we've had recently a significant amounts of rain in a short period of time.
Yeah, we're keeping a close eye on that.
Yeah, I imagine. That's, man. Now, people that I've gone back up a few times in the past couple of years, but it's been several months. People see some greening up and all of that, but this is just really a very much the starting point.
Yes, and a lot of what people are seeing is actually underbrush, and that's something we're trying to get a control on, because the more underbrush you have, it ends up becoming fuels. and we don't want to see nothing but that fuel there, we need the bigger trees to grow.
And that is just going to simply take time as well, because while the landowners, Matt Hill was talking about this a couple weeks ago, you know, had trees in different stages, now everything's back to square one.
Yes, and we keep having droughts, although it doesn't currently feel like it. We've had multiple years where there's droughts, and you're talking about land that's not irrigated. So it's really hard to have a high success rate with these seedlings.
Now, you mentioned a capital campaign. Talk about that, what you're trying to raise funds for. What's your goal?
So I was actually in D.C. recently. I went back there and talked to some representatives and stuff, and we were trying to raise funding to actually finish the remodeling of the building and get the whole resource hub built. So if when we finish, our plan is to hopefully be able to provide daycare or and or preschool to between 80 and 120 kids. We're working on getting that, you know, whole project I just mentioned with the office areas, the conference room, all of that established and done through this campaign.
And do you have a dollar figure you're looking to get?
We asked for $2 million on the state side, and then we're on the federal side, and we're leveraging another $1 million through the state, and we'll also be running a campaign for private donations.
And what's your timeline to try to get all this done?
A lot of that depends on the state and federal funding. We should know some about the federal by May or June. I think our plan is to hopefully start work January of 2024.
So a long road for that project. But and the child care aspect, talk about that in terms of, for a lot of, you know, in rural Oregon, child care is a challenge for a lot of people. Is it especially an issue up there?
It is. We also have to consider that a lot of people had relatives watching their kids whose houses were destroyed during the fire. So now you have family members that can no longer provide that child care, as well as we do have several businesses out there, such as Cadoc Electronics and RomTech, that both employ people in Glide, but we don't really have a large enough child care facility to accommodate them bringing their children there. So we're trying to get it to where some of the people that not only live but work in Glide have their children locally at a child care facility.
And obviously for parents to have them close by is advantageous in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I know it would be for me. I mean, most days it would be for me. I have teenagers now, so I'm not sure having them close by is still a good thing.
Yeah, that is a whole nother program, quite possibly. But no, I mean, it is really a challenge, because if there's an issue during the day, or you want to check on a child, or they want to connect with you, you know, when you've got maybe an hour break for lunch or something, the last thing you need to do is a 30-mile round trip.
Right, and it just provides some more security to the parents.
So anything event-wise coming up for the organization?
We do. We actually have two events coming up. Tonight, actually, at North Umpqua Bible Fellowship from 5:30 to 7:30, we're hosting a preparedness potluck. It's going to be in cooperation with a couple of other organizations, and it's going to be going through the neighborhood mapping program. Basically, it's getting to know the people in your neighborhood, because you are the first person there. You can, in the event of a disaster, identify the people that are going to need more help, etc. And then in July 22nd, we have the Sasquatch Festival. Last year was our inaugural year. This year, we're expecting it to be even bigger than last year. And we're still looking for sponsors. We do have a title sponsor now. We are looking for additional sponsors, as well as volunteers to come out and help at it.
And if people want to find out more about Glide Revitalization and maybe a way they can help, how do they get connected with you guys?
Our website is a great place to go. It's gliderev.com, as well as glidesasquatchfestival.com for information just on the festival, and all of that links together.
All right, Jenna Beam from Glide Revitalization, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.